Paul starts with something at the end of the Seder. I think Gemara tells a story about how Rabbi Yochanan saw the Yenuka der Shlokish. He was a little child, and it was after Shlokish was nifted, and the child was very, very sharp. It was Rabbi Yochanan's nephew. So Rabbi Yochanan said, it says in Pasuk in Mishlei, Yivela Sodom Tesalik Darko Yivela Hashem Yizach Libay. Pasuk Yivela Sodom Tesalik Darko, a person who does something krum, he does a silly foolish damaging things to himself, at the Salah Darkei, he ruins things for himself. Al Hashem Yizach Liboy, but he gets angry at the Rabbanu Shalom. He says, Rabbanu Shalom, what do you do this to me for? And then he will search out through all his actions, and he'll discover that he's at fault. Rabbanu Shalom didn't do anything to him either. Rabbanu Shalom gave him many opportunities, much more than he deserves, to correct what he was doing, and he didn't do it. He's El Sodom to Salah Darkei. The foolishness of a person fakrums his ways, but Allah Hashem Yizach Liboy, and he gets angry at the Rabbanu Shalom. So Rabbi Yochanan was wondering. He said, "If like me did the Leimiza Veraita, there's nothing that is not hinted to in the Torah. So where is this hinted to in the Torah? So where do we find such a thing in the Torah? So the Yenuka der Shlokish." The Gemara is in Tainus. The Yenuka der Shlokish said, "What's Chuck?" He said, "It's the Perish in the Torah." Why? Because when the Shvatim in Parshas Mikes, when they opened up their sacks, right? It says, "Vayomer el echa pushav kaspi v'gam hinei v'amtachti v'yetsi libam v'yechadu ish alochav leimor mazois also lekim lona." Capital Mem Beis Pasik Chavchet. Okay, mazois also lekim lona. So what kind mazois also lekim lona? Oh, what they suffered, what they experienced over here was because of themselves. Right? In fact, even Reuven had said before, "Al kein boy leinu esatzar hazois." Right? He said it. It wasn't ki'ilu. It was something they didn't realize. They already realized that. Right? He said before, "Ashema manachnu alachinu asherinu tzoras nafshei b'tzchanenu elenu v'oshamonu alken bo elenu hatzor hazois." Very clearly. So he said already we were at fault. But at the end he said, "Mazois also v'kim lonu." It's kilu blaming the Rabbeinu Shalom for what's going wrong. Why do we deserve it? That's Yivela Sodom Tesalach Darkei V'al Hashem Yizach Liboy. So, it just there's something that Chazal wanna tell us over here. By the Shvatim, we know Klor. See. They had a cheshbon, they considered Yosef Eroide. He's ruining their Olam Haba, their Olam Hazeh. And he's doing it Yodayim, it's Vayova Yosef in the Bosom Rol Abihem. And they had a cheshbon that he should be punished for it, or he should be eliminated. He should at least Eroide, if you don't punish Eroide, if you prevent him from continuing his Yodifa. That's all. It's a preventive measure that you'll have to do. To protect yourself. Not allowed to punish him, but you're allowed to protect yourself. So they had a full head. The Ramban says that Bishas, they put Yosef in the boy and everything, so it doesn't say it, the Torah doesn't say it in Parshas Vayeshev. But from Mikates, we see Klor, that's what happened. So it says they put him in the boy and they sold him to Midyanim, Yishmael Sochim, the whole business. But between the time they caught him and by Yafshitu es Yosef es Kutantai and putting him to blur and everything, a whole lot of things happened. He pleaded and he cried and he asked them, he tried to discuss things with them, and there was a whole long harichas, and they turned a cold shoulder to everything he said. It says over here in the pasuk, right, which we don't have in Vayesha, but it's clear. Wasn't just sort of quiet. 1, 2, 3. So Reuven's taina to the brothers was not that you were pesheya, you made the wrong decision. Yeah. His taina wasn't you made a toyas in halacha. He said in halacha you were right. But there's two cheshbonos. There's a cheshbon in halacha, and there's also a cheshbon in a certain humanity that supersedes halacha. That although in din you're correct and you didn't do anything wrong, but apple became when he was mischanin. So you have to be aroused, and there has to be a soyrus of rachman, a human feeling of one person to another, a brother to another brother. Ashenem anachnu alachinu asher inu soras nafsha ischanenu elenu v'loy shamonu alkein bo elenu hatzor hazois. The sorah is not because it's an oynish for selling him or even for killing him. We would have been justified if he didn't. But it's a begia in our nefesh. There's something wrong with our character, because the person, a yid, is not supposed to be an achzer and be brutal. A brutal person is not affected by someone else's pain. The more pain the other person has, he enjoys it, he's gleeful. That's a sadistic personality that you see all over the world. When the victim squirms and grimaces and shows tsar and everything, the sadist does it more and more and more, because it provides him with a certain sick pleasure. But a person who's not a sadist doesn't have pleasure from that. He's not sick. Apple became. It has to be the other way. He has to somehow respond to the other person's Torah and be margish the hurt that the other person's experiencing. So that's what it says, Asheru'inu Soras Nafshoi Al Kain Boy Leinu Hatzor Hazois. In other words, if we feel that you could shut your mind and your heart to someone else's Torah, so then why is your personal Torah any different? So then you could also have a Torah. You feel the Torah is nothing. Cheshbon has to be cold-blooded, measure for measure. Didn't. So, when they said, Mazois also lekim lonu, and it says especially the compound of the shame of lekim is the shame of din, right? Mazois also lekim lonu, they said, okay, Torah we understand. So we have Tzorah for Tzorah. We endured his Tzorah without responding, without reacting to it. But so we deserve to suffer and to understand what suffering is, and no one should hear us. The same thing. But when the money is in the sack, that's already something that has nothing to do with Tzorah. That's a tviya. Somebody's going to be taveya that money from us, and we didn't take anyone's money, nor did we do anything shalai kedin. And you can't be made to pay for something that you're not mechuyah for. There has to be an actual chiyah. So that's why they said, Mazois also lekim lonu, that in the midas hachiyah, where it comes to din, we're not mechuyah. What we understand what Reuven said before. Understand this tchina, this sort of snapshot, this hergeshim, there's a certain humanity that was being demanded of us. And we also have to. Navi Amole, they say like this, that Eev suffered Soros. Why? Because he was shoysik. Right? What it says, that there was Bilam, there was Eev, and there was Yisro. Yisro protested, and Bilam gave an Eitzah to kill the Eev, and Eev was shoysik. So therefore Eev suffered Soros. What's the Chinese suffered Soros? Because he was shoysik. What's the Midah connected Midah? The tells his Pasha. What happens when you're shoysik? When you're shoysik, it means that you steal yourself to someone else's pain, and you don't allow the humanity to take over, and that you should protest and feel like you must do something because you feel the anguish and the pain of someone else. Shaisik means you're quiet, you turn off your feelings. In Cain, Eev was given Yisurim. Yisurim, a person screams out, Yisurim, he feels pain. And the others were sitting there and arguing with him philosophical questions. Right? And when somebody is experiencing pain, it's not the time to philosophize and to debate with him. And Yonah Hoim of Yerushalayim. In fact, that's what Chazal said, that Ein Odom Mitzvah Saltara. So the Chaver Maviyah were punished. Why? Because they shouldn't have debated and chapped him by his questions and his answers and his argument, but they should have responded to him as a human being. Seeing his tsar, they should have done nothing more than set aside what he spoke about and dealt with his feelings and with his personal pain. That's what you're supposed to do when a person is in anguish, and not criticize him for all kinds of different things. So the Shvatim felt that mitzad v'hishchanano yeleinu v'loi shamanu, that we could hear. Al kein bo yeleinu hatzora hatzois. But the tzora is also, we're screaming out in pain just like he screamed out in pain. Okay, we hear it. And that's what it is. We have to feel the pain the same way like we ignored his pain, our pain is now being ignored. But when it comes to money, when this moment in the sakim, somebody's going to come and be toveya shaloikadin, money that, and they'll say we got over, and they'll be toveya money from us and want to punish us for gamfeting. That's a very different story altogether. And that's my soul fellow kid morning. But what the Yenukadir Shlokish took out of the pasuk was not, it's not so either. Because anything that happens to you, anything that happens, you have to search how you were going for the thing to happen. What's wrong with the way you're behaving? What's wrong with the way you're acting? That's the first response. The first response is not to look at the tefillah, ke'ilu, you have to defend yourself and say, I'm right and the tefillah is wrong and I'm going to prove that I'm right. That kind of reaction. The first reaction that a person has to have is to do soul searching and to figure out what's the chisoron in myself that brought about this matzav that I'm being subjected to such chisurim and being made to endure. That's yivel asodim to salif darkev al Hashem yizach libay, because the first reaction shouldn't be mazois ofel l'kim lonu, but the first it should be mazois asinu. What did we do? We'll have to sit and make a cheshvan hanefesh and figure out and open up. Hafludik Yisoyd Rabbosai, which relates to everything that a Yid does. Anytime there's any experience, a person has to do the first reaction. First reaction is to do soul searching. What's wrong? And to look through his history, and to look through his maysim, and not to complain. A complaint is not going to do you any good. And if somebody has some kind of pain or pimple or something wrong with his body, so the first thing he's going to do is to go to a doctor to find how to cure the condition, and not to display anger at having this condition, but to look to cure the condition. Lately there isn't a day that goes by without some sort of happening. You know, there are people, we have all kinds of terms, you know, fundamentalists and extremists and all kinds of different things that they be. the Yitzchim of Yishmael are following their ancient tradition. Their tradition is to be a Perod of Yodav Bakol V'Yad Kol Boy. That's how they started off, and that's what they were throughout history, and that's what they'll be till the end of days. And there's no other way of dealing with the Perodim. The Rebbeinu Shlomo will deal with them when the time comes. And it says, V'olam Hashim Baratziyam Lushpet Zahar Esau V'Esau Shacham Lucha. It's like you know, the bacteria who are present all over. They're present in the air, they're present in people's bodies, they're present in food, they're present wherever you go. Whenever somebody has a disease, he's not angry at the bacteria as much as trying to do something to control it, to fix up his own mass of affairs. In these myself to learn to make perhaps set aside a little seder in the Chayus Halbovas, the Shar Cheshvan HaNefesh. The Chayus Halbovas brings a whole series of methods, 30 separate approaches to examining, making a Cheshvan HaNefesh. Not all of them are applicable to every situation. He covers every single conceivable situation. So he only stopped at 30 because he ran out of employment. But he covers everything. But many of these are very applicable to what's happening today. And there isn't a single, you know, incident where there's not something among all the Cheshvanim that are applicable. Teach a person how to examine his personal life, the life of Klal Yisrael, and try to discover ways and methods in which to respond to what's going on. I want to come back to this, but first I'll go to the end of the seder, all the way at the end. It says like this in a very long tether. It says in Parsha Mem Gimel over there, Pasuk Tzayin. Vayar Yosef Itam Es Binyamin. Vayomer Lasher Al Beisoy Yehovah Yeso Anoshem Haboisa. The Toyach Tevach Vehochen Ki Iti Yoyfu Anoshem Batzoroy. As I mentioned a number of times in the past, it says Toyach Tevach Vehochen Ki Iti Yoyfu Anoshem Batzoroy. It's very interesting. The Ramon, the first Siman in Hilchas Chanukah, brings that it's even though the Mechaber says there's no such thing as a Suda for Chanukah, the Sof Kol Sof, the Suda is Purim, Chanukah there's the Neiris and Hallel, and there's no special Inyan of a Suda for Chanukah. The Rav became is an Inyan to make a Suda for a different reason, because since the Beis Hamikdash was Mechunach at this time, they reopened the Beis HaMikdash, so Chanukah HaMikdash is a siman, is an Indian of Suda. If I could find by Shlomo HaMelech that the Suda that he made, Shiva Yom V'Shiva Yom HaBosa Yom, was so important that it was Dorcha Yom Kippur, was Dorcha the Tainus of Yom Kippur. So the Suda, the Chanukah HaMikdash, is a very big Indian of Suda's mitzvah. Although today we're not mechanach the mikdash, but it's a zecher for that chanukah mikdash, and therefore we should make sudas. That's the Ramah's svara. And he says that, you know, you should sit and place him and say that you should sing zmiris of shir v'shevach to the Ribbono Shel, and that will turn the suda into a suda's mitzvah. And that's why on Chanukah and every single day a person should have a suda. You should try to make like a formal suda and sing by everyone shiris v'shevachos. so that it should be the Sudas Mitzvah for the, like Amos says, for the Chinuch HaMikdash. The Magen Avraham brings a remez for it. And the remez is in this pasuk that I just said. Because it says, Hovi Esar Noshim HaBoisa U'tvoyach Tevach V'hochem Ki Itu Yoichlu HaNoshim Batzoroyim. Make it a nice Suda, they'll eat Batzoroyim. And Rashi is Marach Tzoroyim Sheirusa Loshim Suda Yishoyna. So the Magen Avraham says, take a look at the words, U'tvoyach Tevach V'hochem. That the word Tevach ends with a Ches, right? And V'hochein is Vav Hei Chof Nun. So you take these five letters in a row, the Ches of Tevach and V'hochein together, that's the Oisis of Chanukah. So you see right over there, V'tvoyach Tevach V'hochein, the Ches of Tevach and the word V'hochein together is the Oisis of Chanukah. And right away it says Ki Iti Yoichu Anoshim V'Soroyim, so there's the Remez that they'll eat a Suda, the Sheirusa Choshev a Suda on Chanukah. Interesting Remez. I thought perhaps of explaining and sort of bringing the Emes down to earth in the following way. There's a Gemara in Chulis, very interesting Gemara. It says Tvoyach Tevach V'Hochein, these words. The Gemara says that when they prepared the meat for this Suda, no, Tvoyach Tevach, they shechted the behemoths. So it said Alohem Beis Hashchita. Open, give them the behemoths to shech. They didn't have to shech for themselves, the Tvoyach Tevach. What's V'hochein? V'hochein is Nakir Lohem as Gidan Oshim. So there were two things. One thing is to shech the behemoth itself. One thing is V'hochein to take out the Gidan Oshim. That's how you prepare the soup. Interesting. Gemara, the Gemara in Gidan Oshim, in the beginning of Gidan Oshim. So, of course, that goes like the Mandama that says that the Shvatim were knowing the Isra of Gidan Oshim before Matan Torah, because one of them learns that they pray Gidan Oshim first and Isra, that's by Matan Torah. Al Kain Lo Yochel and Yisrael of Gidan Oshim, which is only after Matan Torah. So, there's Machlokes there in the Gemara, in the Mishnah. And this is one of the things the Gemara brings to show that the Gidan Oshim, the Yisra of Gidan Oshim is before Matan Torah. Now, the interesting thing is that shechting and taking out the Gidan Oshim are two representative examples of different types of dealing with Isurim. And it's brought in the beginning of Gidan. Those who learn Gidan, that Beis of Beis, the Sugya Vedechot Nem Isurim. And the Gemara said that an Eidechot is Nemon when there's no Cheskas Yisur, right? Or even when there is a Cheskas Yisur, he's Nemon when it's Biyodoy, right? Rashi explains it in Tosfos. In Gidan Oshim, there's Gerada Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. The idea is like this. A Behemah V'Chayev V'Cheskas Yisur Emedes, right? So the Behemah V'Cheskas Yisur, Ad She'yivod Aloch B'men Nishchato, the aid who comes and says, I shechted, I saw it was geshecht. He's saying, Eidus, to change a cheskas yisur. And therefore, there's a problem. How is he nemon? So the Torah says it's biyodoy to change the cheskas yisur because he could shecht. All you have to have is a knife and be a shechet. And you could take away the yisur that has a chazok. So it's chazik yisur, but it's biyodoy. Yeah, that's why the aid is nemon. When it comes to the Gidan Oshim, punkt vakir. What do you do about a Gidan Oshim? You take meat and you tell somebody, this meat does not contain any of the Gidan Oshim, right? It's menukar. What does that mean? The Gidan Oshim was removed. So what does that show? It tells you that the meat over here was always mutter. It has a cheskas heter. It doesn't have a cheskas yisur. The Gidan Oshim was always osir and remains osir l'olam vod. And the Gidan Oshim was removed. So it's a case of saying Eidus on a thing that has no Cheskas Yisur. It's a Cheskas Heter, but you're being made that this is Heter as opposed to the other things which sometimes are confused with this and are Isur. And you're made that what you're pointing to now never was Osir. It's Mutter to begin with, right? Why? Because once the Shechit is over, so all the meat is Mutter. It takes an effort to remove the Gila Nosha, but not because you're going to correct the Nisyan, you're going to change the Chazaka. Right? To me, what that was Mutter after the Shechita, and remains Mutter. And finished, it has a Cheskas Heter. But as long as it's stuck to the Gila Nosha, and you don't know the difference, and you didn't take it out yet, so there's no way you could use the Heter unless you remove the Yisr. The Yisr is the Cheskosai, Oymeh, it was Osir, and it will remain Osir, and the Heter was always Mutter. And those are the two types of nemonos that are neidachot heaven. To take something that's the cheskosei iser and to change it to heter, and he's only nemon because it's biyodai, like most of Shainan. And something that was always muter, he could identify the heter and say, this is the heter that I'm identifying it. I'm not being made that it was changed.
It doesn't have to be
biyodai. It doesn't have to be biyodai at all. It's not biyodai to change the Gida Nosha into something Mutter because he can't. But what about something that's Becheskas Yisr and he's going to be made that the Yisr changed, and that could very well be through Pebble that belongs to me, for instance. Right? And if there wouldn't be a din that he could be Torah Mishaloyah Shal Haveri, so there's no Biyodah Yerul, in that case he wouldn't be Nemon. Why? Because it has a Cheskas Yisr and he has to be Nemon to say that the Yisr changed into Hesed. Right? And he can't say the Yisr changed the Heter because he has no right to remove the Yisr, because it's my pebble, it's not his. And he doesn't have the Bailus, he doesn't have the Yodah, the Koyach to remove the Yisr. So in that case, he wouldn't be Nemon, according to Moshe Shani, because it's Yisr, that's the Cheskas Yisr, and it's not the Yodah to remove the Yisr. He has to have a special permission, special Koyach to remove it. So the Shechita and the Gita Noshe are two different Yisaitis. One is the changing of Yisr into Heter, and one is the removal of the Yisr so that the Heter could be used because of the separation of the Yisr from the Heter. But there's no change being made in the Yisr. And that has a very, very special significance when it comes to Chanukah, Rabbi Yisrael. Today is Chanukah. You look at the Indian of Chanukah, you'll see that in the history of Chanukah, Klal Yisrael went through two tikkunim. They had a tremendous tzorah beforehand, and the entire experience of Chanukah corrected two things by Klal Yisrael. Number one, they were Yidden who were following the wrong derech. They were misyavnim. Right? They were drawn, lured by the Yevonim with their philosophy and their beauty and their culture, and they were lured by the Yevonim, by this new, modern, important, big world, which is even attractive, Ada Yom Hazeh, the world of the Greek philosophy, which is the basis of all Western civilization, which we speak about so often recently, how Western civilization is clashing with, you know, the opposite in the mountains of Bora Bora, you know. But that's what they were attracted to. Because of the Nes, and because of the Chashmonoi, and because of the victory, most of them came back, and most of them did Shuvah. And the whole new Doir of Tanoim and everything started with a tremendous Chizuk in force, and right away, within a couple of years, there was, you know, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai at the end of the first century of Chashmonoim. That we saw before that. They took the old Beit HaMikdash and repaired it, fixed it up, beautified it, and restored the Avodah. But on the other hand, there were things that were never misukah. Why? Because there were misyavnim who remained misyavnim. The false kind god of Menelaus and the Yochim Ishtroyos who came afterwards, they remained yavonim and they were lost to Klal Yisrael Olam Bo. In fact, the history shows that for years and years and years, they acted like goyim, they joined with the goyim, and the movements within Klal Yisrael that succeeded the Misyavnim were based on their people, they actually sort of fed these new movements, the Tzedukim and the Vaisusim and all of those that Josephus speaks about, Asiyim and so on. They were fed by the old Mithyavnim, who were discredited because they were now considered traitors and people who were loyal to an oppressor of Klal Yisrael. So they changed colors and they became Tzedukim. Chazal tell us that the old menorah, which was the golden menorah, couldn't be used any longer. It was used for Avodah Zorah, so they buried the menorah. And what did they make in this place? There's a machlokes tanoim. One mandama learns they made a wooden menorah, and the other mandama learns they made an iron menorah. They bound together spears of iron. So the first menorah with the nests of Chanukah was made on their boy side, was a very odd looking menorah. It was spears of iron that were just stuck into the ground or tied to each other, and there were makeshift neiros. Everything was ad hoc. Shvud and Shobaza. And later, Heshiru was also Shal Kesef, Heshiru. It took years and years till they restored the golden menorah. But they had to be Meshakech the menorah. Even the Mizbeach, which was built with stone, they had a Sofika. Because one Mandoma learns that Tolashul, the Sof Chibroi, is not called Mechubal Karka. And the other Mandoma learns it is Mechubal Karka. And if it's not Mechubal Karka, it becomes Nifsal, Loil and Boil. So they had took apart the old Mizbeach, but he couldn't remove it and bury it because it may be kosher, right? On the other hand, they couldn't keep it because it may have been possible, and they never push it to Sofik where the Tolo Shul was Sof Chidre. So they had a little office in the Beis HaMoikat, and they kept a big pile of those stones which stayed there till the Churp, and they were going as the Avonim Sheshiktsum Yivonim, right? Bimei Chashmonoim. And they put it in the Beis HaMoiket. It was the room leading to the Beis HaKisei below the Beis HaMikdash. And every time a person passed by, he saw these stones, or they, maybe they were covered up. But these were things throughout the Beis HaMikdash which couldn't be used. They were not recoverable. And so too, there were many people who were not recoverable. They were gone. They were permanent losses to Klal Yisrael. I don't know if you realize that there was a fortress, the fortress of Acre, which was right outside the Beis HaMikdash, which was kept and fortified for 20 years, even after the Chashmonoim succeeded and restored the Avoid and everything. For 20 years they were holed up in that fortress of Acre, and they had managed to get supplies, Seder, and there were thorns in the side of Klal Yisrael. It took decades until the Menelaus, the false Kohen Gadol, with his people were driven from the fortress right adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash itself. They were all Yidden who were deserters. This is what happened during the time of Hanukkah. So the two events are similar to these two inyanim over here. One was similar to Toyach Tevach, which is to be Mesaken, to restore, to be matir the yisr, to take something that can't be used, which is behemah v'chayevah chaskasis, and to turn it into an edible substance that's joy for eating, that's mutter, to restore the Yidden who were deserted partially back to becoming members of Klal Yisrael and the loyalty to Torah. And the other one was to get rid of people and objects and all kinds of different things which polluted Klal Yisrael. And it wasn't just simply getting physically rid of those elements that could no longer adjust, like the Gid Hanoshe, that had to be excised and cut out and removed. It was even more than that. It was clearing the thinking of Klal Yisrael, because into the mindset of Klal Yisrael there was already an invasion and infiltration of foreign ideas. The Yaldei Nochrim Yastiku, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, ideas that had their birth in Goyim found their way into the heart of Klal Yisrael, and those ideas have to be removed. And it's not an easy thing to remove an idea. You could take a person or an object and you could get rid of him, but to get rid of an idea means you have to revitalize the whole thinking and theoretic approach. Mahalach HaRachshav of the Avid, this was part of Hanukkah. Until then, there was tremendous confusion, right? I'm sure Zeichel Drob always pointed to Choshech, Yovan is Choshech. the Medrash that said the Choshech of Neitzahoyim Zugalos Yovan, because there was confusion, terrible confusion. So these two ideas are spoken about when you look clearly into Al Hanisim that we say. Al Nisim, the Al Purkin, we say at the end of Achakein, Bo Bonecha, with Dir Beisecha. They came to the Beis HaMikdash. What did they do there? Ufinu Asechalecha, the Tiru is Mikdashecha. What is the Psha? Ufinu, what is the word Ufinu? Huh? Nulra, Ufinu Asechalecha. What does that mean? What does the word Pinu mean? Huh? What? They clear out, right? Onochi Pinisi Habayas. They clear out the finu asaychalecha. They got rid of a whole bunch of things. They took out the old menorah. They took out the mizbech hazot. They took out even the stones of the mizbeach. They took out piles and piles of stuff. The klishoris, everything. The finu asaychalecha. And then with tiru as mikdashecha, they left the Beis HaMikdash, the walls and the Beis HaMikdash, the etzem Beis HaMikdash itself. They were metayer. They restored it and they were able to salvage it so that it shouldn't be lost. So Ufinu Asechalecha V'tiru Asmikdashecha is like removing the Gidanoshe and being Matar the Migdash. Right? The Hidliku Neiris B'chatzis Kachecha is simply to light up the darkness. Right? Which just simply means they put light so people could walk around the Chatzar. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Nes of Chanukah. Hagan, there's all kinds of Shtiklach Torah which try to associate it with the Nes of Chanukah, but those are nothing more than that, Shtiklach Torah. Because it was there was any reference to the Nes of Chanukah, so it wouldn't say the Hidliku Nes of Chassis Kachecha. It would say that there was a Nes or something special. Hidliku means they were Madlik. A Nes means they weren't Madlik. A Nes is what they didn't do. And the Hidliku means what they did do. It's impossible to be Miramas to a Nes, which is exact by using the exact opposite words of Nes. Hidliku Nes of Chassis Kachecha. And the menorah is not in the Chatzir. And everything, the Pashup Shat, despite all the Shlikot Torah, Rabbi says, there is a Pashup Chat and the Shlikot Torah of Chanukah, which is part of the Simcha of Chanukah, you know. By the way, Chanukah is an Indian of Simcha. I just want to mention on the Lurfadik, because somebody made a whole tumul a couple of years ago, and this year too somebody came over to me. Why do people say Afreiluch of Chanukah? Maybe that comes from the Goyim. They say marry this, and it happens at the same time. So that's where it comes from. We shouldn't say Afreiluch of Chanukah, but the truth is, when the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah mentions the first thing in Chanukah is Simcha. That's the first mitzvah of Chanukah. Before he speaks about the Neiris and the Hallel and everything else, first is Simcha. And the reason is, because Chanukah is a Yontif. That's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah. It's one of the Yontif. And a Yontif means the time of Simcha. That's the definition of Yontif. And that's why there's no Hespedim and no Tachman. And all that comes because of the element of Yontif, which is Simcha. Okay, so that's the first of the mitzvahs of Chanukah. You have to be sameach. There is a very important thing in the fail of Chanukah. But come when confusion is removed. The Rambam says, "Ein simcha k'atorah sasreitis." And till Chanukah, there was a sofik that crept in Kol Yisrael. There was a confusion. People didn't know what was right and what was wrong, and the ideas that confused everybody were being pounded away at Kol Yisrael morning, noon and night, so that the few who weren't confused but who still saw things clearly, who had the uncanny ability to see clearly in the darkness when most people lacked the means to be able to see with clear vision, those were the ma'atim that we speak about, the chashmonoyim. Rashi brings in Parshas V'zois HaBrocha, right, that the Yudbeis b'nei chashmonoi ve'elozer imoyim, nobody knows exactly what it refers to, but whoever it is, it was a very tiny group of people, and the ma'atim, they became later rabbis, because others were encouraged by them to rethink and to open up their eyes. But the chashmonoim were yechidim. The pinu asechalecha refers to what happened. They got rid of the psoilas. Tiru is mikdashecha. They fixed up what could be salvaged in the sukkah. The liku neis b'chatzos kachecha. They lit up the Beis HaMikdash so that there shouldn't be darkness and confusion, but there should be activity and light and life. And Be'emes, that's the yontif of Chanukah. The yontif is to light up the darkness. You bring a light for that purpose. You remember the Nes, of course, and everything else, but don't forget that the Nes itself was an event which caused extra light, rather than the old light which had to be repeated and repeated constantly. There was a light that burned steadily because there was no need for repetition, because it was a light that's Kayam Le'olam, the light of Emes, the light of clarity. That's the light of Chanukah, because Chanukah is called Choshech. The Yevonim, the Golos Yevonim was called Choshech, Golos Yevon. So it's interesting. Ki eat the yoichol anoshim batzorayim. Rashi says batzorayim is what a lotion of a meal that's eaten in the afternoon, right? But the word tzorayim is an interesting thing. What does the word tzorayim mean? What's the name given to that suda? Light, right? Tzorayim means clarity. The afternoon is tzorayim, when everything is crystal clear. It's matzir. It glows with light. Sometimes there's a meal eaten in the nighttime, and you have to light up, right? Like it says, Mishosha Oni Nichnas Lechel Pitoi. That's when you say Krishma, Me'em Sakar in the Shema B'Yarvin. But the other people, they wait a little while because they'll eat even in the darkness because they could light up lights. So Torayim is a time when you have a meal in the afternoon. The meal is known by its name as clarity, Lichtikai. So if you take a look at the Pasuk, Rabbi Yisai, you'll see an interesting thing. There's the simcha of the Suda of Chanukah, which the Amor says is not there in Chazal. But sof kol sof, it's a mini kadmain to have a Suda to celebrate Chanukah's HaMizbeach, Chanukah's HaMikdash, the renewal of the Avodah. And it's merumas in the Pasuk, Tvoyach Tevach Vahochen, like the Magen Avraham says, because over there you have Chanukah. And it's everything is in this pasuk that defines for us what Chanukah is. The Toyach Tevach is the Beis HaShechita, right? To correct, to change the Israel, the Heter. The Hochein is Makir Lehem Eskidanoshe, to get rid of those foreign elements and foreign people who are loyal to the foreign elements who just can't separate from it any longer. They're Nifso. And revitalize Klal Yisrael and set it up to be light without darkness. Ki iti yoichol anoshim batzorayim. So there's a suda to celebrate that clarity, that simcha. It's Hatoras Hasveikas, and that's the suda of the Chanukah HaMizbeach. I said I'll refer just once more to what we spoke about before, because when we say Yivelo Sodom to Salif Darka V'al Hashem Yizaf Libud, that's an indication of confusion. A person has total misunderstanding of what's happening to him. There's two levels to this misunderstanding, that's what I said. Now listen carefully to this Yisoid, that's very, very important. There's two levels. One is he fails to make the Cheshbon HaNefesh. He fails to realize why these things are happening. And without knowing that, so there's a misunderstanding, and the message is not being gotten, and the corrections are not being made, and the whatever was wrong is just remains as before. So what's the tachlis? Al mesuku oy tesifu sora, right? That's what the pasuk says. You got hit so long that you're sort of just immune to thinking. Al me'asuku oite sifu sora kol rosh l'choli v'chalev of Davoid, is there's nothing left, and you still don't get the message. It's a pitiful it's the thing to see. But there's something that goes even deeper than that, and that is that you're angry at Hashem Yisborach. Al Hashem Yizaf Libo. Why are you angry at Hashem Yisborach? You're angry at Hashem Yisborach because he's ignoring you, he's letting you suffer. The truth is no. The truth is Hashem is Baruch not ignoring you. Adarabah. Hashem is Baruch Berachmot HaGdoilim is pounding away and trying to wake you up and speaking to you. But you're not a Novi. You're not Zorcha to having messages, Koyomer Hashem, Zedvar Hashem. What can you do? You're not on that Madreg. You're not even in Bal Ruach HaKodesh. And maybe not even a Bal Chaloimus, like we have so much about Chaloimus in these sessions, that you could hear the message through a Cholim. But the message is being delivered in a different way. The message is to shake you up so that you should lose that sleep and complacency which makes you sort of impervious to any message. Like, you know, Hashmein leva omazev ve'oznav hachbeid ve'enav hosha ve'yir be'enav, right? You have no capacity to listen any longer. The yisurim are being lost. It's being wasted on the person. That's the most pitiful part of it. That the Ban Shalom is sort of shaking him like somebody with listen to an alarm clock that's pounding away. And he's so deep in his sleep that every ring of the alarm clock, which is giving everyone else in the house disturbing jitters, and they all hear it and wish they could run over and turn it off, but the sleeper who's sleeping next to the alarm clock is sort of concocting up new fantasies and dreaming up new pictures and images and stories going on in his mind, which incorporate all these different sounds so that the sound should be nothing, but they should just somehow fit in with the nonsense that's going on in his mind. So there's a thousand different uvdas, each one connected with some kind of sound and the ring and everything. Every little buzz just does nothing more than that. So to add to the confusion rather than to subtract from the confusion. And that's the biggest chisoron of Mazois also Lekim Lonu. The confusion persists and the message is lost, and the answer to Mazois is very pushing. Mazois also Lekim Lonu, I don't know why, but the Ribono Shel Olam is trying to tell me something and I'm just so stubborn that I'm not listening. Even before you know the message, even before you could figure out what precisely is the intent, what is the message, right? But when you get some kind of facts and it doesn't come out clearly, so you see a jumble of words and you can't figure out what exactly is being said, because there's a few words here and a few letters there that are sort of blurred, right? But one thing you know for sure, that you got a message. You understand? That's no mistake. But what the message says, maybe take a little effort to figure out, examine it a little more closely, okay? But you know you got a message. The chisoron of the person who's being pounded away at by the Ribono Shel Olam and the Yisurim and the Velosodim to Salah Darkoi, he doesn't even realize he's getting a message. That's the worst part of it. And he says, takes that fax paper and folds it up and throws it straight into the garbage without having any idea that there's a message being sent to him. That's what the Yanuka de Shlokish was saying over him. When they said, Mazois also Lekim Lonu. Right? So they were trying to figure out that the Ribono Shel Olam is doing it. He's being tevei a moment, and I have no tevias moment against me. I'm a very honest person. I'm very careful, and so on and so forth. The bottom line is that the person remains in the dark. The whole yisoid of Hanukkah is that there was an illumination. There was tzoveraya. That's cause for a simcha. That's cause to sit down by the table and celebrate. Baruch Hashem. I understand. Life is clear. There's no more confusion. I got the message. I know now what to do. And even if you weren't misaken it yet, even if there's still a lot of work to be done, but it's still a tremendous, joyful simcha. You'll make another kiddush when you finish doing the work and when you come to the top and when you succeed and everything, fine. But that's sort of like even anticlimactic. Sof kol sof, the ikrit shebeikrim is the etzem clarity that comes with understanding that there is a message, and secondly, understanding what the message is, and third, is to fix up and be masakim. But once that's done, is the tevach, the hochen, is ki iti yoslo anoshim batzoroyim, is time for a tremendous simcha and celebration. And I think that's one of the things I always feel, and this yisoid is not something that I just merely weave together the strands and come into a nice, beautiful sounding shtick of Torah with a cheshbon, with a gematria, with erseyet. It has all the elements of a nice, exciting shtick of Torah, and it's great. But that's not the point, everybody said. The point is, it's a mahalach achayim. It comes time during Chanukah when we're really supposed to sit down and think things through and try to reestablish that clear thinking approach to Yiddish life and not get caught up in the nonsense that sort of blinds our eyes to what's really going on. In the Tkufa, when there's Taurus and when there's all kinds of different things that's happening, it's a time that calls for enormous cheshbon nefesh. Even if we don't have all the answers, but you succeeded halfway, if you finally adjusted your mind to understanding that there is a message, and ultimately you'll figure out part of it, but to think that there's no message and to just go around cresting and complaining is a mess. So the Rishta Elfin that we should come to the real Chanukah Samus Beach with the Simcha of Ozimolus Fakpinu Meir.